Well, I've been looking forward to this for a while. Dan and Lori Henderson are going to join us in our spotlight conversation today. And you know that on Worship Wednesdays, what we do is we put the spotlight on what Christ is doing in and through his church. So now for like the last couple of years, we've invited in pastors and ministry leaders and business people and people of all kinds who know and love the Lord to tell the story of how God has been at work in their lives. And so I've been looking forward to having the Hendersons in studio with us. They happen to be, by the way, some of our newest advertising partners here on NBL. If you hear about Henderson Real Estate, that's who we're talking about. But Dan and Lori, it's good to have you with us. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Let me just say that. And I think that's going to come out during the course of our conversation today. But it's been enjoyable to get to know you. And let me just talk for a minute here. Lori, I first met you during the Grace Race at CCA. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
A number of years ago, whatever it was, and you were the coordinator, organizer of it, and quite frankly, I haven't had a free t-shirt since those days. So if you come out with a Home with the Hendersons free t-shirt, I'll be happy to take that from you.
Awesome. We might have to do that.
Yep. Yeah. But those were fun days, and it's been nice to know you, of course, through that. And then, but Dan, I've known you even longer because I grew up in your neighborhood. No, I'm kidding. I think you live there longer. You're way younger than me, but you were my neighbor. You live three doors away.
Yes, sir.
And it's weird. Every time I go in the basement, I have my workbench is sitting on top of a set of cabinets that came from your home, and and your dad gave me those cabinets. And I think of the Hendersons every time I look at that. But yeah, we grew up in you grew up in our neighborhood or whatever. Yep. And I got to tell this one story. I think I've mentioned it to you before, but for the sake of the listeners, your dad was a cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and he became a good friend, and he's a wonderful brother in Christ, and God's done great work in his life over the years. But one day I was coming down our street, down, Heim Road, where we live, and where you grew up, and it's got a bend there in the road, not far from Heim School. And I'm coming around the bend, and I'm just kind of not paying attention, and I guess I was going a little too fast. I think, I don't know, it's maybe 35 or 40 on the road, and I'm going like 47 or whatever it was. I was a little over the speed limit. I never try to speed. In fact, my kids mock me out for driving like a grandma. But I just wasn't paying attention. I come around the corner, and your dad has his cruiser there, and he's leaning on the back of it with one of those radar guns, and he's pointing he's pointing it at cars coming down the street. And he looks at the thing, and he's obviously got somebody dead to rights. He's got me. And I didn't know it was him at first. I just saw a cop. I'm like, oh, great. And I
busted.
I saw him look at the thing like, oh, okay, here we go. I got this guy. And he looks up and realizes it's me. And then he just had this disgusted look on his face like, as a matter of fact, I think at that time I was his pastor. Okay, I was pastoring a church. He looks at me and he goes, let's just get out of here. He gave me the thumb. Just keep going. Just keep moving.
That's funny.
It was God's grace in that very moment. He let me out. But so yeah, we go way back in terms of our relationship. But in a spotlight conversation, the spotlight's on Jesus, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to talk about how you met the Lord and how you met each other and the whole thing. I don't even know where to begin. Lori, did you grow up around Christianity?
I didn't actually. My dad was also a police officer for
really?
Amherst. Yeah, our dads knew each other, but our families did not know each other. We grew up going intermittently to a non-evangelical Protestant church. So I really mostly grew up just hearing like good feeling Bible stories, nothing about personal relationship or faith in Christ. It wasn't until my brother had a friend who invited him to go to a youth group that we started going to youth group, my brother and I, at Bethel Baptist Church, which is now The Well.
The Well.
But that church is where my family came to hear the gospel and know the Lord. And as like a 12 and 13 year old, like hearing the gospel for the first time and you're starting to understand some of it. I think I prayed to receive Christ like 5 times because you know what? Because
you needed
like,
it that bad?
Yes, I did. Because as a 13-year-old, I would pray to receive Christ and then I would maybe go make a choice that I knew wasn't the right choice or was a disappointing choice or action. And I felt like, well, I need to do this again. It didn't stick,
right.
You know, and then as you read the scriptures, the Lord works in your heart and you begin to grow and realize that it's a process of sanctification, not, you know, every single time you need to pray again.
So I'm just, who was the pastor there at the time? Was that Pastor Ewing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He married us too.
Yep.
Did he really?
He did.
At that church. Yeah.
That's where we
David Ewing. No kidding. Yeah. Mary and I attended there for a brief time during a season of, I don't know, we were thinking of moving or something. Mm-hmm. And we were there for, I don't know, a year or so. So we probably were in the same place at the same time. And I didn't know you were, so you were attending the youth group, Dan? Is that right? Or church in general?
No. Well, I mean, I grew up Catholic before my dad got saved. We had gone to church on Sundays, you know, and I knew who Christ was, but never really developed a relationship. And then I got saved through the college group, which is where Lori and I met, at Bethel.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then we ended up, you know, becoming friends, and then...
my family liked to call Dan, oh, that's Dan, Lori's friend. He likes cake.
Yeah, Dan was Lori's friend who likes cake. Yeah.
He likes cake and Lori.
I used to get invited over for all the birthday parties because I was the friend that liked cake. So. And I was okay with it because I liked Lori. So yeah, exactly. It worked out well.
I didn't like Dan at that time.
No.
Dan Dan was just my friend. Poor Dan. He was my friend that I would like call when... Yeah. You know, I had a fight with my boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Dan was
this
a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, I love these kind of stories.
Oh, it's so funny because the buddy of mine that had been he and I were party buddies when we were younger, and then he got saved at the Niagara
Youth Conference.
Conference, yeah. Uh-huh. And so then, and we worked together at the time for the town. So he would come, and instead of us listening to music, he would read from the Bible, and then we'd argue about it. And so, you know, he kept trying to get me to come to church or come to this youth group. And the one night I did. This is actually how I got saved. I was out doing the dumb stuff 21-year-olds do at the time, and was driving home. And I remember it was a snowy night, and I was just flying. I didn't care. It was like 2 a.m. Nobody was out, and I remember coming around a turn. I turned off a Millersport on a Dodge and came around a curve, and I remember seeing a church go by on my right and a phone pole coming at me on my left. And it was like God literally paused time as I had hit the curb and came up on two wheels and was like, do you get it yet?
Wow.
You need to make a decision. You're either going to turn your life over to me or you're going through this phone pole and it's over. And so... I called that friend up and said, hey, you've been trying to get me to come to this college group at this church. I think I might want to check this thing out. And sure enough, I did go there and accepted Christ at the college group. And that's where Lori and I had initially met.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me, he said, hey, what do you think of Lori? And I said, oh, she seems really sweet. She's really cute. And he said, great.
She's got a lot of boyfriend trouble, but other than that. Right.
Well, yeah. And this was before I knew that. And he said, okay, great. Well, now that you're saved, you need to stop thinking about girls and start getting right with the Lord and develop your relationship.
Like he brought up her name and then told you to not think about girls?
But then he told her, I'm saving you for my friend Dan. And she's like, what are you talking about?
This is
like
scandalous.
Yeah. So funny.
And I had a boyfriend at that time, so I just kind of blew Kevin off. I'm like, Kevin, shut up.
Yep.
You're so weird.
And then ironically, and we became really good friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, went to birthday parties at their house and
ate cake.
Stuff like that. And ate cake, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, it was like God just turned our heads towards each other and we were like, hey, how you doing? You
know? Wow.
And then...
you know, I got to know your dad pretty well during that time that he was coming to faith in Christ and then later in his early days of walking with the Lord, and it was just amazing to see how God was working on him, and I knew it was having some impact on his family, but didn't know how soon thereafter it was that you came to faith in Christ.
Yeah, it was not very long after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I baptized your dad.
Yeah, I remember that.
Let me tell you a funny story about that real quick. When your dad came up out of the water, he said, "Woohoo!"
Yep.
You know, and he raised his hands and it was like a big cheer. And everybody was cheering because they knew something about his story, you know. And he was well-liked and well-loved and, you know, everyone knew he was a cop and everything. So when not long after that, I was in the room when my boys were going to bed, and I don't know, I'd say Zach was about 14 and Ben was 11, something like that, or 13 and 10 maybe. And I'm talking to the boys, just sitting there in the dark, and out of the blue, Ben says, "Hey, Dad, how can you know for sure that you're a Christian?" And now, he'd been around this type of conversation for a long time, so I might have thought it was an odd question, but it really wasn't. I knew that it was sincere. And I said, "Well, if you're all right, let me talk to you about it." And he said, "Okay." So we just had this open conversation for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And I said, is that something you want to be sure of today, Ben? Do you want to put your trust in Jesus?" And he said, "Yeah." So I told him, you know, you need to ask for forgiveness of sin and ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, you know, surrender your life to him in whatever words you want. So you go ahead and pray. And when you're done, you say amen. So he prayed his own prayer. He received Jesus that night. And he said, "Amen." Now, I thought Zach was sleeping, but the minute he said amen, Zach said, "Woohoo!" He pulled That's a awesome. Chuck Henderson.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Interesting to know how families affect one another when they live in the same neighborhood.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
So now we know how you met and, of course, how you met Jesus. You have kids, right? How many kids you have?
We have two.
Two.
Yep. Yeah.
For now, or?
No, two is good.
Yep.
Okay.
We're good.
Two and
our daughter is 14.
Oh, really?
She's 14. She is ninth grade. And our son is 12. He is seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And with this COVID thing and whatever, but even before that, you guys decided to homeschool, right? So now you're also a homeschool mom?
I am, yeah. We're a homeschool family.
Dan, are you the principal at all?
No.
Oh, okay. So they don't, kids never get sent to the principal's office?
No. Every once in a while.
Yeah, on occasion, I suppose.
Okay.
I'm probably the biggest troublemaker at homeschool.
Yeah. This is our fourth year homeschooling. I really felt the Lord calling me to homeschool the kids. Their last year in school, they were in private Christian school, and I just is something I never desired to do. I knew a lot of people that did it, and I just kind of looked at them and thought, I do not have their patience. I'm not nearly as organized. I can't do this. And I just really felt it so strongly. I said, "Lord, this year, like, we're committed to this year going to this private school." I said, "Can you show me why? I need a why. And can you please just give me the smallest amount of desire to do this?"
Just keeping it real.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. And you know what? When you have school age kids and you've had them home, you start to really enjoy that time during the day to yourself. And I was involved in different ministries and all these opportunities. And I knew some of those things were going to have to be put on pause to do this. And the Lord, you ask him to show you, he'll show you.
Oh, yeah. And he'll equip you.
Yes,
when
for
he's calling
sure.
you to it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that true, right?
Yes.
And like, I'm just thinking about the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Like, you take what you have to give, and if all you have to give is your willingness, you know, Lord, I'm willing, but I feel ill-equipped for anything. Mm-hmm. It's not just homeschooling, right? It's anything. I'm willing, take what I'm giving you and use it for your glory, and he will. He needs our yes to be on the table.
Correct. For sure.
Yeah. Wow. Well, God works in major ways in people's lives, and I'm going to ask you about some of those waves here in just a few minutes, if you can identify some of the things that have happened in your life where you say, by the way, being on two wheels in a car in a snowstorm and surviving it, and one, you know, that's one example right there of when God showed up in a big way and called you into relationship with himself.
The funny part is, and I forgot to mention this, that church that went by on the right, the phone pole was coming on the left, that was Bethel, where this friend of mine ended up driving us to the college group where I got saved. So that church that went flying by on the right as an illustration by the Lord happened to be the location in which I met him. So how cool is that?
He almost died in front of the church he got saved in.
Yes.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Literally was given an ultimatum right there.
Only God can do that kind of thing.
Yep.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment. Dan and Lori Henderson are with us. And by the way, they're some of our newest advertising partners. They just happen to be with us today in our Spotlight conversation, where we put the spotlight on what Christ is doing in and through his church. Henderson Real Estate is the name of the business. You can be hearing a lot more about it here on NBL. We'll be back with more in just a moment, so don't go away. All right, let's get back to it. Dan and Lori Henderson in studio with us. Henderson Real Estate is the name of the business that they own, and we'll talk more about that later. But right now, the spotlight is on Jesus and what he's done in the lives of both Dan and Lori, allowing him to meet, come to faith in Christ, start a family, all of this to be used for God's glory. God works in many ways, financially, emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise. So if I was to say to you, and by the way, the reason we do these spotlight conversations is because on Wednesdays, we want people to know that God can be trusted, that he's powerful, that he makes good on his promises. So just imagine that you take the, holding up a sheet of paper, the insurance calendar that your insurance man sent you, right? You take it off the wall, you set it down on a table. Right there in the middle of that calendar is Wednesday. If you take a cross off the wall and you lay it down on the calendar, the vertical part lands on Wednesday, the horizontal is the rest of the week. Well, we can't change yesterday. We can't change what happened, you know, on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Can't, there's no promise tomorrow's ever going to come. Thursday, I mean, think of 9/11. There's no promise tomorrow's going to come. All we've got is right here and right now to say yes to what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. And so we encourage people on Wednesdays to be vertical. I say it all the time on the air. I know you guys listen. You might have heard me use that terminology. But we're talking to people in Toronto and in Rochester and in Niagara Falls and Buffalo and Williamsville and, you know, Angola, New York. There's people all over the place listening right now who are going through financial things, medical issues, financial, spiritual, family matters, business-related things, you know, and they're fearful and they're nervous, and it seems like the enemy's getting the upper hand. And we're saying, no, trust God. Cast your cares on him. He cares for you. He'll meet you in the middle of what you're going through. And we're encouraging him here on Wednesday to do that. That's why we do the spotlight interview. So when we bring in people to tell the story, to put the spotlight in what Jesus has done in and through their life, it makes a difference. It, over time, you begin to hear over and over again how God is faithful and he shows up. So before we get into anything about your real estate venture, let me just kind of throw it out and say, name a time in your life. What comes to mind when I say, talk about a time in your life when you know God really showed up and he asked you to trust him, and maybe it wasn't easy, but you did. And he made all the difference after that. So I don't know who wants to start here, but anybody, we're going to start with Lori. Okay.
Sure.
Ladies first.
Let's throw her under the bus. All right.
I can think of a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Two came to mind, but one in particular, Dan and I, after we got married, we had plans. I was attending Moody Bible Institute, and I took a semester off so we could get married, and then we were moving to Chicago. During those few months off, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer.
Oh, my.
My mom was 48. So, of course, we got some very bad news from the doctors, and Dan, graciously, he's like, we will stay. We will be here for your mom, whatever she needs. We were told my mom had a year before going to heaven, and it turned out my mom lived for 4 years.
Hmm.
The reason for me that that is the time that God really showed up is that whole time, everyone in my family kind of accepted that the cancer was going to take my mom to heaven. I never accepted that. I, the whole time, believed that God was going to give her a physical healing mm-hmm. on earth. And so when that didn't happen, I was the one in our family to get very depressed. Very much, I got to a point where it was very hard for me to function. I could barely take care of the kids. I could barely take care of our house. I just couldn't understand why I thought what God was going to do, he didn't do. And mm-hmm. I think that that happens in our life a lot. Like, we have unmet expectations. You think God's going to do it your way.
Right.
And then he chooses to heal her a different way. I became so internally focused with how I was feeling that, like, I was a hot mess. I would go to my mom's groups, go to church. I lost friends because I was such a mess. Like, I was that girl in church who everyone kind of, like, turned away. They're like, I just can't deal with her today. Like, if I go say hi to her, she's just going to start crying. Like, she's just too much. And so God was there for me in a way when I really didn't have people. Sometimes when something goes wrong, like, your first thought is to call your friend or call someone to, like, just talk it through. Like, I didn't have that anymore because of what a mess I was. And I am so thankful that, one, Dan put up with me during this time in our life because I was a mess, and he could tell you that. But that God continued to put a couple steady people in my life, but he was the one who counseled me. His word was what filled me up at a time that the rest of my life was a mess.
Well, and we won't go into this in detail, but isn't it interesting that it may sound cliche, but real growth happens in valleys, not on mountaintops. My son Ben loves to hike, and he's been above the tree line many times in places like Wyoming and other places. Nothing grows up there. But in the valley, you see lush vegetation and stuff, and none of us would choose a valley over a mountaintop, ultimately, because valleys can be places where they're not a lot of fun.
They hurt.
Yeah, they hurt deeply. And yet God meets us there. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. God called you into deeper relationship with himself through that process, and I'm sure you know him differently today as one who has provided some healing for you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And real depth and perspective in your walk with God. Yeah, what you're talking about, many people listening have struggled with. It's not an unusual story, but it's unique to your relationship with God and foundational, obviously. Dan, what would you say if somebody was going to put your finger on something?
Man, we could do a whole week's worth of shows talking about how God showed up in our in our marriage, our 16 years together. Just an encouraging end to that story, despite having lost Lori's mom, who was a wonderful woman. It was her desire that the gospel was shared at her funeral, and it was, in fact, shared. And as a result, 8 people came to Christ at her funeral. It was absolutely incredible. But
what a blessing.
There's a handful of times I could think of off the top of my head. When we struggled financially, when we were just starting out our first business, and we had no money, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to put food on the table with a newborn baby and the two of us, and God just continued to provide through people and through different means, which was absolutely incredible. I would say, going back about 5 years now, Lori was actually diagnosed with a mass on one of her ovaries. And given the fact that it was still relatively raw, the loss of her mom because of that, it was incredibly terrifying. And we had literally just found out right before we were going out of town for our anniversary. And I remember laying on the bed in the hotel where we had gone and just bawling. And as a husband, being really frustrated because I couldn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting, having to trust that God was going to show up. And so when she had surgery down at Roswell, they came out and said, you know, they had removed the mass and it looked like she was going to be okay. But we were terrified having just gone through that with her mom. And God gave us no real reason to not trust him. And so we did. And sure enough, she's still here.
Wow, that was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise God. And I'm sorry that you lost your mom, especially at a time when your kids were little, you know, and didn't get to experience all of the grandma stuff, you know. My mom passed away this year, and it was hard enough having lived a full life. But, man, then to later be diagnosed with the same thing as your mom, had to be terrified.
I was. I was really scared. It is a strange thing having conversations with your husband about what is our family going to look like if I'm not here? What do I want for them if I'm not here?
Mm-hmm.
Those were some really, really hard conversations. And the kids were little, so we didn't really tell them what was going on. And it was difficult.
Nobody signs up for those kind of conversations.
No, you don't. And you never think you're going to have them. I always said, like, when my mom was sick, like, it's always the thing that's, like, happening to your neighbor. It's the thing happening to your friend at church. But it's not what actually happens to you. But it does. And honestly, like, sitting here today, I wouldn't trade it. Like, I know my mom's in heaven. She would not choose to come back here.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right.
She's with Jesus. She would not want to be here. But I would not, like, I genuinely would not say, let's not go through that, being on the other side. Because I think that we have seen God show up for us. We have seen the fruit that it has had in our lives, the way that people have, even other stuff we've been through, God will bring people your way, mm-hmm. so that you can walk alongside of them, because they're now going through something they never thought they would find themselves. And it's a little bit easier because I know what I wish someone would have done for me.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, just, we're going to take a break and start talking about your realty business, and I don't want to belabor this, but just as a brother in Christ, I latched on to you saying, you know, which was a powerful thing, we're going to be here for Lori's mom. We're not going to go to Moody Bible Institute right now. We're not going to Chicago. Let's call time out. Let's minister to your mom. And she was around for 4 years, so that obviously, you know, changed your plans significantly. But you were able to be a husband and love your wife and be there for her, and that's what we love to do as husbands. We want to meet the needs of our wives. But the minute she says, you know, that I've got ovarian cancer, and you're unable to do anything about it, leaves you powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an odd place to be. It's, no one would sign up for that either. And yet Paul talks about the fact that he experienced God's power being perfected in his weakness, and said, I'll actually want to boast about my weakness. As humans, we don't want to do that. We don't want to talk about how we can't do something or how we're unable to do something. And yet God's invitation is always to trust him. First of all, we can't save ourselves. Secondly, we can't perfect ourselves. So it's really about a dependent relationship on God the whole time. And you've had to live it. Like, whether we feel like we're forced into that or not, I don't know how people theologically want to talk about that. But my point is, you've walked that road, and you've seen God meet you in that place. And I think you're a stronger man because of the fact that you called out to him in weakness, and he met you there. It's why you're telling the testimony
right.
Yeah.
on the air, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Anyway, thanks for sharing that story. And you're healthy and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Praise God. God is so good. I love him. All right.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Continue our conversation with Dan and Lori Henderson. You're going to be hearing a lot about Henderson Real Estate. They're our newest advertising partners, but I wanted to get them in here to talk about what Jesus has done in their life, and let's talk a little bit about their business as well. And we'll get to it when NBL returns here on WDCX. Our guests are Dan and Lori Henderson of Henderson Real Estate. I guess if you want to check them out, you can go to their website. And help me out with that. Where is it? HendersonRealEstate.com or something?
HomeWithTheHendersons.com.
Oh, it's HomeWithTheHendersons.
HomeWithTheHendersons.com.
Which I think sounds like the name of a reality TV show. So
you know, we've heard that a few times. You're not the first person to tell us that.
You know what? We need a reality TV show.
I think you do. So you're venturing into media here with your relationship with WDCX Radio, mm-hmm. but I see it coming down the road. There's going to be a TV show. HomeWithTheHendersons.com. And Henderson Real Estate's the official name of the business. Let's say back in high school, Dan, did you ever imagine you'd be involved in real estate?
No. I always took a liking to construction. Every generation of the Henderson family has had a skilled tradesman in it. And I just heard this from my father and my grandmother, dating all the way back to like my great-great-grandfather who came over from Scotland, my great-grandfather who built houses in Buffalo. And so I always loved architecture construction, but mm-hmm. never really thought about going into real estate.
And what about you, Lori? 17 years old, did you say, you know, I want to be a realtor one day?
You know, no.
Okay.
I did consider being an interior designer.
And that will come into play in the conversation.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
But 17, how do you know what you want to do for
True.
The rest of your life? It's so hard. But
the only reason I ask you is because it's interesting how God, you know, directs our paths, right?
Yeah.
Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And you guys have surrendered your life to him. You said, Lord, you know, use us. And so as husband and wife and as mom and dad, you know, God's been fulfilling his plan and purpose in your lives and in your ministry ventures and your work at church and whatever else you're doing in the community and stuff. But occupationally, God has now brought you to a place where he's using you in real estate, and neither one of you really ever intended on being in this place. So I don't know who wants to start. Let me ask Lori. Just tell us how you got into this thing. How did you end up in real estate?
Dan and I have always loved homes. We have always kind of been known in our friend group for remodeling and working on our house. Dan is a very skilled tradesman. And I've always loved design. I've always had friends asking me, oh, I got to have you come over and look at my living room. I need some advice. Can you go shopping with me here? Help me pick out some stuff. So that part of it has been something we have always been doing for many years, like mm-hmm. 10 years. And then it kind of came to a point several years ago where we had some friends that were looking for a house, and they had a realtor, but their realtor wasn't like actively like helping them. And the husband had gone out of town, and he said, look, like, we really got to find a house. You can buy a house while I'm out of town if Dan approves. So We started going with my friend and her realtor to look at houses while her husband was out of town. And I think it was really at that point where we were like, we really love this. Like, this is really fun. So we did it for the enjoyment, but we also loved helping her mm-hmm. and helping her family. And being like, when you're moving, like, that's the biggest thing going on in your life in that mm-hmm. moment. And it's a huge decision. And God's got to be a part of it.
In addition to like stuff like graduating high school, getting married, a death of a loved one, moving is on that list of like
yeah.
major life issues.
Correct.
And how many times have we heard somebody say, you know, I need to get this thing done, but my realtor's just not helping me, you know? And I don't know if that played a role, but based on what she just said.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. And that was, I think that was like March or April before I had gone for the license, going back 3.5 years. And we had, like Lori had said, we had several friends come to us, and they said, you know, either my realtor's not helping me, or I don't know if they really know what they're looking at. They're just kind of opening the door, telling us to look around and let them know our thoughts. And this one couple in particular that Lori had mentioned, the house, one of the houses we went to with them, the realtor opened the door and said, hey, this is the perfect house. It's everything you're looking for. And I had walked in, and I happened to notice the, a twist in one of the posts between the kitchen and the family room. And I just kind of looked at it funny. And I noticed the sliding glass door didn't look like it was square to the frame. And then we walked into the family room, and I saw a diagonal crack up in the wall running from one corner to a window and then down. And I said, let's go down to the basement and take a look. And so we get down to the basement, flip the lights on, and it's dark. And then I pulled out a 1,000-lumen flashlight, and everybody kind of looked at me funny for having a flashlight. And I said, well, we're going to go look in the dark spots, you know?
Adventures with the Hendersons.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It turns out being flashlight-carrying thing is not common, but we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we found a diagonal crack in the foundation big enough for me to slide my hand into.
Oh,
and
wow.
What made it worse was the foundation wall had actually shifted. And at that point, I had realized not only was it something we enjoyed doing,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that we were good at. We mm-hmm. had experience leading up to that in the construction field for many years that allowed us to bring that to the client mm-hmm. and make that part of helping them find the right home.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were dealing with the seller, it would be, we need to get this taken care of. But mm-hmm. if you're dealing with the buyer, it's like, this might be a reason not to buy this house.
Correct. And it's funny because that's kind of what kicked us off into going into real estate. But like you mentioned earlier about not signing up for stuff when you get married, we got into the business because of that. What we found when we really dove into it was it's so much more than just about the house.
Right.
Lori mentioned a journey walking alongside of people when they're dealing with life. This has become an opportunity to walk this journey with our clients side by side, hand in hand, all the way through it, because it is such a major life, major chapter in your life.
Right. And with your construction background, and Lori, with your design background, you guys are able to bring this stuff to, you know, to the midst of the equation with your clients, right? With your the people that you're working with. So it's really more than just listing and selling homes.
Correct.
It's a bigger experience, and I don't know what you want to call that, but like, you know, you're working to create a total experience for people. Describe that in your own words.
Yeah, we really want to like come alongside them, whether it's an individual or a family mm-hmm. or a couple. There's a lot that goes into it. They, you know, where is God leading them? What do they want to use it for? How can we come alongside and be a partner with you, be a good steward of your money? You know, one thing we say a lot of times to our clients is just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So it's important to be praying throughout that, but also be meeting their needs all the way around and remind them when things get emotional, because I don't know if you've ever been in a negotiation, they get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Try and help mitigate that for them and take that off of their plate.
What are you you're talking about, like when somebody sees a house, they really know this is the one they want? And
well, like, so we always tell people buying a house is an emotional roller coaster. We try to take the roller coaster out of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So even when, like, right now it's a seller's market. It has been for the last handful of years. And so houses are selling for over asking with multiple offers. And so we have that conversation with the client ahead of time. We're going to discuss true market value of that home
mm-hmm.
and what your walkaway number is. And if offers start flying and emotions start flying and we hit your walkaway number, I'm grabbing you by the collar and dragging you out before it gets crazy. Yeah, because it becomes
he loves you. That's
right.
Why.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I tell people all the time, like, no home is worth resenting your family over.
Right.
No home is worth putting your family in a financial dire over.
Mm-hmm.
It's a house. It's a home.
Right.
They're made to buy and sell. You're going to make it a home in the way that you love it, but not enough to hurt you over. So we try to, it really has become a ministry because it's more than just a buying or selling of a home. It's, you know, we've become marriage counselors. We've become financial counselors. You know, like we met with a couple one time and they said, we both are on the same page. We know exactly what we want. And we said, great, what would you like? And he said, I want a house in the woods with a lake and it needs to be a fixer upper. And she said, no, we want a house in the suburbs inside of a neighborhood
Uh-oh.
That's totally done. And so we actually had to separate them, put them in different rooms and said, make out a list of
like not permanent
want,
separation.
Right?
No.
Like go to your corners, minutes. Fill out the list and let's come back and let's talk about it. So it's given us a great opportunity to use our experience personally and professionally.
Let me just pause for a second mm-hmm. and say, some of you folks listening in Toronto today, our goal here is to, we had a spotlight conversation, putting the spotlight on what Christ has done in and through his church, including in the lives of Dan and Lori Henderson, our new advertising partners. Well, you're going to need quality real estate assistance in the Toronto area. Call Nicola Brandes. There's nobody better to help you in the Toronto area. In the Niagara region, our advertising partner that I highly recommend is a personal friend named Steve Dubé. Anywhere from Fort Erie to Grimsby, Steve Dubé can help you. In fact, you can call him at 905-708-5622. And the Breakfast Blend sponsor for the Niagara region is Greg Sykes and the Sykes team. And Zach Mann talks about him on the Breakfast Blend. Why do I say all this? Because we have prayed and asked God to bring us a real estate team here in Western New York that we can partner with. that we can send people to and know that they're going to be taken well care of, and not just professionally, but spiritually and in friendship terms and, you know, emotionally and otherwise. You guys are the answer to that prayer, and we are thrilled to be partnering with you. So Western New York, wake up. Dan and Lori Henderson, living here in the Buffalo area, are ready, willing, and able to help you through Henderson Real Estate and everything else that comes along with it, because they really are working together to help create an experience, not just a transaction. Right. And that might have to do with design and everything. We'll talk about some of the perks you have available, but I just got to ask you, because this phrase came up earlier, what does it mean that it's better to list well than list quickly?
That kind of came as a thought in a conversation with one of our clients a while back, because we hear a lot that, at least when we were working under other brokers, they would say, you know, get as many listings as you can, get them as quick as you can, get them listed. You know, if somebody says that they want to list their house, sign that paperwork right now. The problem with that is that if you don't put together a good plan and execute it well, you can end up with a giant mess, right? So we tell our clients, you know, like doing the first walkthrough in a home with somebody before we list and giving them some suggestions of things to do to get the house ready, both photo ready and ready to sell. Mm-hmm. What's worth updating or fixing and what's not going to give a return, so it's not worth it. And then having a professional photographer come out. We always hire a professional photographer to take those pictures and to write up good descriptions to be able to put in. We're marketing that home.
Right.
And so that takes time to properly do, because you only get one shot at a first impression, right? So when that house hits the market, you have X number of buyers that are looking at it, and whether it's through an auto email or it's through their own search, you need them to see it and love it, not see it and forget it and move on. And so we start telling them, we need to list. It's better to list well than to list quickly.
That's wise advice. And I want to encourage you to think and pray about that kind of thing, because it's way more than just slapping a house on the market and seeing what happens next. The real estate business has become very sophisticated, particularly with the internet marketing. You mentioned photos that go out on the internet, all of that. You offer some perks, and I think some of this goes along with trying to create a vision of what it means to have not just a house, but a home. And so you guys go well beyond just the transaction itself to offer people some real honest assistance with, like, what it means to really make this your home. So I don't know who wants to talk about that. We've only got a couple minutes left, but what do you mean perks?
Yeah, it's always a little sad. Like, at a closing, you feel like, oh no, is this relationship going to end? Because these people become a part of our life, our clients. But we do offer some discounts, and I'll let you.
Discounts. We wanted an opportunity to be able to say thank you and give back to our clients. But also an opportunity to be able to stay in touch with them, right? Because we're walking this journey, we're developing a relationship. So we've started partnering with local and national companies like Sherwin-Williams, Raymour & Flanigan. We have partnerships with them so that our clients get discounts on those products. So if they're going to paint their house after they buy it, or they're going to put furniture in it, they can get a discount. We have a quarterly magazine that goes out called American Lifestyle, that gives everything from recipes to design tips, discusses trends, things like that, that we send out to our clients on a quarterly basis. And we're continuing to grow that list. So from home decor to furniture, fixtures, things like that, we're going to continue to add to that, so that it's another way to say thank you and give back to the people that
even some do-it-yourself tips and tricks.
Yeah, right? We started doing a little bit of video work. At some point, we'll continue on with more. But Lori did some design tips. Something as we'll say as simple as setting up a floral display inside of a chicken coop, which we can discuss another time. But you know, and then with my construction background, we want to start doing some video work on everything from how to hold a paintbrush to how to repair a wall.
Hang crown molding,
things like that. So it's continuing to evolve to build those long-term relationships with people.
Note to self, next time I do crown molding, call Dan Henderson.
There you go. Dan gets a lot of texts. Hey, buddy, I'm going to be hanging some crown molding.
Yeah. you give me some tips.
Tell me how.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. So, all right. Well, we want our listeners here in Western New York, the Buffalo area, to contact you. Your phone number is 716-970-4180.
Correct.
716-970-4180. We've got a client page, by the way, here at WDCXradio.com. And if you click on advertisers, you'll be able to see an entire page that offers you all kinds of information that can help you directly connect with Dan and Lori. So go to the client page at WDCXradio.com. But you've also got the website homewiththehendersons.com.
Correct.
And, oh, there it is. I typed in the word home on Facebook, and it popped up Home with the Hendersons. I don't know if my computer is listening to this conversation.
It could be.
Or if you're just the first thing that pops up. Wow. Cool. All right. So you're on Facebook and Instagram with Home with the Hendersons.
Yep.
All right. Well, we want our listeners to connect with you. We're going to be hearing a lot more about you as one of our advertising partners. But thank you for letting us do what we do. Meaning, when we're talking about Jesus and when we're encouraging people through God's word, we're able to do that because of your support. And it's our desire in partnership with you to encourage our listeners to support you guys. And when we do, everybody benefits. Mm-hmm. So those of you listening in Western New York, you're looking to purchase a home or sell a home, or you know someone who is your son or daughter or somebody you work with, how about they call Dan and Lori Henderson at Henderson Realty, Henderson Real Estate, homewiththehendersons.com. Can I just pray for you guys before we let you go?
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Lord, I'm just so excited by what you're doing in Dan and Lori's life. I thank you for the friendship that we share with them and just for how we've been encouraged through their story. Lord, your hand of healing in Lori's life and for how you've healed both Dan and Lori emotionally after the loss of Lori's mom and how you've encouraged them through the process of thinking through homeschooling even. Lord, you care about every detail in our lives, and I thank you that you miraculously brought each of them to faith in Christ. You brought them together, and now they're being used to build your kingdom in a variety of different ways, including through their business, Henderson Real Estate. So God, thank you for the partnership we share with them. Bless Dan and Lori each and every day. And I just ask, God, that you would allow our listeners to be responsive as you have spoken to their hearts. And when the time is right, they would pick up the phone or get on the internet and connect with Dan and Lori. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in and through all of our lives. It's our desire that Jesus be lifted up so that others can be drawn to him. Lord, you're the one who changes lives, and we want the focus to be on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank God you. Bless. We will be back with more. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
There's more of NBL to come here on WDCX. Don't go away.